On Capitol Hill today, House and Senate committees reviewed some of the intelligence that guided the U.S. decision to go to war in Iraq. One aim of the closed-door hearings is to determine whether information about Iraqi weapons programs and ties to terrorist groups was flawed or even misrepresented. Some lawmakers also want a broader investigation to consider whether the intelligence reporting process should be reformed in order to strengthen its independence. NPR's Tom Gelton reports.
It's already apparent some of the intelligence claims made by senior administration officials about Iraq were wrong. President Bush said he had reports suggesting Iraqi military commanders had operational control of chemical or biological weapons. Defense officials now say they believe those reports were incorrect. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld said on March 30th that U.S. commanders knew where Saddam's weapons of mass destruction were hidden, but U.S. teams went to those locations and didn't find anything. On Capitol Hill, lawmakers want to know whether the Bush administration manipulated information to make it more supportive of its war policies. Jeffrey Smith, a former general counsel at the CIA, says that would violate a guiding principle of intelligence analysis.
Intelligence has to be independent of the policy process. It has to be supportive of policymakers and warfighters, but independence is critical.
A key issue here is the relationship between the White House and the CIA. The CIA director is supposed to tell it like it is to the president without considering whether a report is good news or bad, helpful to the president's policies or not. An intelligence item that brings this issue into focus is the president's claim in this year's State of the Union address that Saddam Hussein wanted to purchase uranium, apparently to build a nuclear bomb.
The British government has learned that Saddam Hussein recently sought significant quantities of uranium from Africa.
Intelligence officials have since revealed that by the time of the president's speech, both the CIA and the State Department had already determined the uranium claim was probably untrue. So how did it get into the president's speech? National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice, speaking earlier this month on NBC's Meet the Press, said the president had independent sourcing for the claim of a uranium order and that CIA and State Department doubts on the claim had not yet reached his office.
The president quoted a British paper. We did not know at the time. No one knew at the time in our circles. Maybe someone knew down in the bowels of the agency, but no one in our circles knew that there were doubts and suspicions that this might be a forgery.
But a senior intelligence official tells another story. Earlier versions of the president's speech, this official says, did not cite British sources for the uranium claim. They were more definitive, the official says, and we objected. At that point, the official says, White House officials suggested, quote, why don't we say the British say this? The White House has disputed this account. Jeffrey Smith, the former CIA general counsel, says the president's erroneous statement, no matter the explanation, only shows how important it is that senior administration officials defer to the unbiased judgment of their intelligence advisors.
It should never have happened. It means there was a breakdown. Something failed. The system failed. And we have to find out why. Clearly nothing as dramatically wrong as that should ever get in the president's remarks. And shouldn't get into any serious utterance by a public official. It was just so wrong.
Democratic Senator Evan Bayh of Indiana, a member of the Intelligence Committee, says one lesson to be drawn from this episode is that it's important for decision makers in all branches of government to hear a variety of intelligence judgments.
We don't want a homogeneous intelligence assessment. We want to hear dissenting points of view. And so striking that balance is going to be a real challenge going forward. And if it turns out that the intelligence about weapons of mass destruction was simply wrong, the question then arises, well, why was that the case? And perhaps it would have been better to also hear some dissenting views.
In fact, the CIA already has some mechanisms in place for ensuring its intelligence judgments are shielded from political considerations. Almost all CIA analysts are career specialists. There are very few political appointees at the agency. In addition, for years, there's been a CIA ombudsman to whom analysts can go to complain if they feel their reports are being twisted for political purposes. An official at the agency says one analyst did register a complaint during the Iraq War, saying the reporting of Saddam Hussein's ties to the Al-Qaeda network had been exaggerated. But Republican Pat Roberts of Kansas, chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, pointed out in a press conference last week that this new interest in making sure intelligence estimates are conservative reversed criticism made after the 9/11 attacks. Members of Congress at that time criticized the administration and the intelligence community for not having put together clues beforehand to draw conclusions about what might happen.
The joint inquiry by an independent staff into the 9/11 tragedy strongly criticized intelligence officials for not connecting the dots, for failing to put together a picture that seemed all too obvious after the fact. Now there seems to be a campaign afoot by some to criticize the intelligence community and the president for connecting the dots, for putting together a picture that seemed all too obvious before the fact.
Pressures for reform of the intelligence reporting process, in fact, have been building for years. A commission headed by retired General Brent Scowcroft is said to have concluded in 2001 that all intelligence agencies should report to one chief who would be shielded from political pressures. But that commission report is still secret, and its recommendations have yet to be acted on. Tom Gelton, NPR News, Washington.